At the IDEA Ag Interconnectivity Conference in Altoona, Iowa, we're going to visit with Ken Erickson, Senior Vice President for Informa Economics. Ken was on the program here at the conference today talking about the nation's infrastructure and some of the challenges that we face there. Ken, I know I hear growing concern from people in agriculture that we're not keeping up with infrastructure on the federal level, or I guess the state and local levels as well. Sounds like they have reason to be concerned.
There is reason to be concerned. First off, we still have one of the best infrastructure systems in the world. It has served us well for how long we've had it in place. You go back into the 1940s, 1950s, and we developed river systems, built locks and dams in a very short time frame. We had the transcontinental railroads that were emerging and trying to compete with the highway system. And as President Eisenhower has been was instrumental with the interstate system, that was completed in the 70s, for the most part. But what we've seen is that the infrastructure has done a lot of work. It's done a lot of heavy lifting. Unfortunately, after a lot of heavy lifting, it starts to show its age. And it's not so much that it's wrinkling, it's just in many spots crumbling. And for a lot of places, it's difficult to prioritize projects because we keep adding more infrastructure. If you look at the urban road infrastructure, for example, it continues to expand, partly because it's taking over some of the rural, but you're also getting new areas, new developments, cities are expanding. The rural infrastructure, the highways or roadways in the rural areas are shrinking. You don't have as many. And there's probably reason not to have as many on one hand. Maybe, one question is that do we have too many and we got to maintain them? Because when we look at how we're trying to spread the resources to maintain what we have, do some major rehabilitation, you can only take that butter and spread it across the toast so many times before you get nothing left. And that's essentially where we are. Our river system, the locks and dams in the upper Mississippi, average 71 years. They were designed for 50 years. The Army Corps engineers have done a yeoman's job to keep them functional, but the reliability of them are declining. The railroads, when you look at them, they've kind of gone through a major rehabilitation on their own. They're proud to say that they've used their own money, reinvested back into their capital to the tune of about $13 billion this year. And if you look over the last 5 to 6 years, I think you're getting close to $100 billion that they've put into the system there to try to improve the track. They've also consolidated some track, but put in sidings and new equipment. So we've got a mixed bag, but a lot of issues related to funding do emerge.
And you also mentioned some of our competitors around the world and that they are taking steps to improve their infrastructure. Many of them may be where we were at 50, 60 years ago.
No, that's a good comparison, Ken. And when we look at South America in particular, it had been running that they would send most of their soybeans, much like us, to the market by truck. The first move is always truck. But to final market position, we look at back in 2005, for example. Brazil was sending 60% of their soybeans to the market, final market position by truck. Well, today in 2010, I should say, they about 53% of their soybeans move by truck to final market position. Now, that's on higher volume. But at the same time, what you've seen is you've got greater volume moving by rail, and rail's gaining more share in South America, and you're seeing barge gaining share and moving more volume. So you have seen the other modes be improved and be able to take away some of that, relieve some of the pressure on their system down there. U.S. is a little bit different. We continue to maintain some similar modal shares, although because the soybean exports are so strong, rail and barge continue to dominate and have expanded in their share in the U.S. But South America, we've seen some improvement. Same thing in Russia, in Ukraine. We've seen lots of investment from the United States move over there. Certainly, even some farmer cooperatives are going into Russia and Ukraine, South America, and they're building up the infrastructure, both the grain receiving and then necessitating local development, and as well as at ports or in processing as well. So it's not just the countries themselves. It's also, and not just the multinationals. It's some of our local cooperatives seeing the light on that side of things too.
So what has to happen here? Is this strictly the federal government's role or state government's role, or is industry going to have to pitch in here?
Industry has said that they're willing to pitch in. For example, on the locks issue, where there's a Inland Waterways Trust Fund. It's funded through a 20-cent per gallon tax. That 20 cents goes into the trust fund. The government matches it on a 50%. It's a 50-50 match. And that money is supposed to be used for major rehabilitation and major construction or new construction of locks and dams. One issue is that we've had such huge cost overruns, especially at Olmsted Lock and Dam on the Lower Ohio, where when it was first authorized in 1986, it was going to be $700 million. President's budget came out this year. It said it was $2.7 billion. A month later, in testimony, it ballooned to $3.1 billion. So that just sucked a lot of enthusiasm or air out of the balloon, so to speak, to be able to fund other things. Again, all that butter's melting in one spot instead of being put over the whole piece of toast. What the industry's saying, listen, is there a better way we can be doing these things? And it really is. And the industry says, listen, we're willing to pay a higher fuel tax as an investment into the infrastructure. And there's, by some groups, they think they could go substantially higher than the recommended up towards of 9 cents more a gallon. So they could go up to 29 cents a gallon to fund the projects, provided the government would change the way that they structure projects, the way they fund the projects, and what they fund at the projects. Right now, the towing industry and the shipping industry bear the brunt of it from that 5 to 20 cents a gallon. There's other users, the recreation, hydroelectric, municipal water, et cetera, that do have benefits of the locks and dams. The federal government said the reason for the 50-50 match was to accommodate those other people. But as we're looking at the infrastructure, the cost differentials get to be such that the industry is really pushing for a different formula. Same time, there's different thoughts about, can we privatize a system? We don't have earmarks anymore. Those are gone. We do have Tiger grants. Now, those Tiger grants are spread to a whole number of places across the country, much like earmarks were. But what these earmarks have done by going away, I believe, is forcing many stakeholders to have to say, what do we do now? And they're actually now having to come and organize themselves and look at it in all kinds of different stakeholders and start looking, how do we work this together to communicate the benefits, the value to the economy, and to what we can do? And is there a way to privatize certain aspects? That's the thing we hear over and over again. The railroads have demonstrated phenomenal success in what they've done because they can reinvest for themselves. Same thing on the highways. You can't reinvest in the highway. You can buy the equipment that rolls over it. But we're seeing that the local communities are unable to keep up with the match, the cost of maintaining and construction along those ways. So there's a lot of different talk about how do we raise maybe fuel taxes to try to rebuild some of these highway trust funds. But we look at the whole picture in our macroeconomy. There's not much room to squeeze any more out of the system here because we're really tied to a lot of economic issues, both nationally and locally. But it does start local with groups starting to come together, maybe beginning to develop a story and build up the fact base to present to the congressional stakeholders, if you will.
So in summary, I mean, how serious is the situation, right? I mean, at what level do you put this on the level of seriousness?
I haven't really thought about it in the level of seriousness, if it's that you rank it or you put it in some sort of red light, green light, yellow light. We're probably in the yellow, and it's wanting to go to red. We could say today that there are structures on the river system that makes some of these towboat operators cry. And they're very concerned that they just don't know when that disaster is going to happen, and you hope you're on the other side of it when it does. Disaster such as a lock failing. At a lot of our locks, we do not have gates available if one fails to put back in. And a lot of that, maintenance could help. On the other hand, some of that is we just weren't prudent in having backup redundant systems along the way here. Those are the very things that are keeping them awake up at night. And same thing in the Army Corps, a lock master. They spend a lot of sleepless nights getting phone calls early in the morning because of some failure or some event. Same thing on the bridge failure. The I-35 bridge was a disaster. And that was a wake-up call to a nation who momentarily could learn not only how to say infrastructure, but how to spell it. And I suppose we go back to that same crowd, people forgotten what it is and how to spell it. And we've been kind of led astray with the stimulus that we had a few years ago with the administration, believing that that was going to go to infrastructure. So little of that money that was first talked about went into physical infrastructure that supports the economy of the United States of America. And so we've kind of lost some opportunity in that regard. The wake-up call and where we're at, we're in a very, it's yellow, and we better not be running through that red, yellow light, because it's going to be red real fast.